The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Detroit basketball!
And hello and welcome into Views from the Sidelines. Got Malik Hill with me, Joey Tysik as always, and NBA playoffs. We're actually going to talk about the NBA today. We're going to start though with some NFL draft talk since we haven't been talking too much about that kind of stuff, but we're going to do a mock draft show next week. And yeah, it's going to be weird talking about the NBA, but I'm kind of excited.
Meaningful basketball is back.
Yeah.
After March Madness ended.
Right.
We're rolling.
Yeah, and we don't have to talk about that team, you know.
We'll get there.
But
that's a summer topic. But the season is over. Thank the basketball gods.
Yeah, we get to watch good basketball. Hopefully good basketball. Yeah. But like I said, we're going to start off with a little draft talk just to get things going. And yeah, so we're going to do like three players that we like in this draft, and then we're going to do who we think the Lions should take for their draft pick this year. So, Malik, who's the first guy on your list that you like in the draft? Doesn't have to be first round even, just somebody that you like.
So, this first guy is a receiver. I think he might go second round because his hype kind of built after his the combine and his pro day, and people going back and watching his highlights and seeing how much of a playmaker he is. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver from South Carolina, a real country boy.
He's like fringe first round right now. A lot of people think at the end of the first round, there's a lot of wide receivers that could kind of bounce in and out from there. So.
Yeah, because most people watch the SEC for Georgia and Alabama and LSU, schools like that.
Yeah.
He was at South Carolina. And even though they had an up-and-down season, Spencer Rattler had a really good senior year, and he was Spencer Rattler's go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Leggett is 6'1", over 220, like almost 225. He's built like country. He's the definition of country strength.
Yeah.
And he kind of sounds like Randy Moss when he talks, which made me like him even more. But, yeah, he's a specimen. He has 4.4 speed, almost like high 4.3s. He's lightning quick when he gets the ball in his hands. But he's also just a really good overall receiver.
Yeah.
And I think he could be an absolute weapon in the league.
Mm.
So I'm a huge fan of Xavier Leggett.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go with my wide receiver then. Another most likely later round. He could probably go second round. I think there's thought that it's probably more like third round. But, again, it all depends on where people are going. But I'm going to bring up Ricky Pearsall.
Nice.
I really like his game. His metrics turned out really good. He had one of the highest verticals, which wasn't like super surprising if you saw some of his highlights. Didn't have like an insane season at Florida, but he definitely improved each year. I think he was still under 1,000 yards this year. But their offense isn't like super explosive. But what I like about Ricky Pearsall is he's just a guy that goes and gets the ball. And he can give you big play opportunities. And it just seems like he's a fighter. Like, I feel like if the Lions didn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown, he would fit in really well. Because I see him more as a slot guy in the league, not necessarily an outside guy. He's 6'1". He's under 200 pounds. So he's not huge, but he's built pretty well. But again, I just like his tenacity to go for the ball, and I think he could be a really good piece to an already solid team in the draft. So I really like him.
Okay, my second guy, he's very well known to college football fans. I think most NFL fans don't know him. He won the Nagurski Award last year for top defensive player, or top linebacker. I can't remember which one, but He won that award. Linebacker from NC State, Peyton Wilson. I've been watching him for 3-4 years. He's been playing ever since he stepped on the field at NC State. And his production got better and better every year.
Yeah.
Last year he had 100 and he had a high number of tackles, like well over like 140. He had like 6 or 7 sacks. He had a few picks. He can almost do it all at the linebacker position. He's 6'4", 235. And what really blew him up was his combine. 4'4", 340.
Yeah.
What was his 34 and a half inch vertical. Like, you watch him on tape and you don't assume he's just like this freak athlete.
Yeah.
And he just blew up the combine. Like, he has all the production and the tape. And then he went into the combine and showed he was super fast and he can jump.
Yeah.
So he has like everything you want in a linebacker. And I think he's going to be a star for whoever he's for. Now, he might get some flags because he's very aggressive and he likes to take people's heads off.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the way he plays.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. For my second one, I think I like a lot of wide receivers. I'm not going to do another wide receiver, though. I'll be kind of basic here again. I really like Michael Penix Jr. I feel like him going late first round, possible second round, depending on, again, the quarterback position this year is going to be really interesting. Because your guy, J.J. McCarthy, keeps climbing farther and farther. This CBS mock draft that I'm looking at right now has them taking J.J. at 3.
It's just too high. It's too high.
Over Jaden Daniels. That's a whole nother topic.
I haven't heard any. Yeah, that's just nonsense.
But I really like Michael Penix, and I think a lot of it is for the value that you could get for him. Not using one of those top picks. That are expected. I think Michael Penix could be just as good as some of those other top guys. I'm not so sure about JJ. I have a lot of questions about it. Drake May has gotten a lot of hype, but I'm not like as hyped about Drake May this year. Even Caleb Williams, like my number one quarterback is Jaden Daniels, but again, that's also, he's somewhat of a project, but like I'm not even completely sold at Caleb Williams being this franchise guy. So I'm not sure. I would rather wait till later in the draft and get a guy like Michael Penix Jr. that has played in lots of games, has a lot of experience. I know people like the young guys, but I like guys that have gotten a lot of meaningful reps. And I think he's proven that, you know, he's been able to do it. He did it at Indiana, and then he transferred, went to Washington, had a really good season, came up just a little bit short. But I think he's the real deal. He's got some speed to him. He's got a good arm, you know, pretty basic stuff, but I just like where he could fall in the draft for somebody. And I think that's why I like him in this draft, is where people can get him.
Okay. My last one, it's a lesser known. I had to throw one of those in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that, as a college football sicko, I've been watching him for 3, maybe 4 years for like his entire career at this point.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause his freshman year, I believe, was the COVID season.
Okay.
And it's a kid from South Dakota State, a running back named Isaiah Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this dude's production over 4 years, it's ridiculous. I mean, his last 2 years, he had 33 touchdowns and well over like 3,500 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
His first 2 years, like over 1,500 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He has size. He's 6'1", 220.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a 4.57, but he has game speed.
Yeah.
He's a tough runner. It's one of those guys where there's a chance he might not make it in the league just because the politics of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But if he gets his chance, I just believe Isaiah Davis is going to shine.
Yeah.
Like, now, he might have some tread on his tires.
Mm-hmm.
He got a lot of production in college, but he did nothing but produce.
Yeah.
It's also at the FCS level, but
right.
You look at the size, you look at the production, you look at how he runs, he's an NFL player.
Yeah.
And if I'm like the Dallas Cowboys, any team looking for a running back, if yeah. I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm drafting Isaiah Davis in like the 6th round because he's going to fall.
Yeah.
And he has so much talent. He is a natural running back. Mm-hmm. And guy, I think he could stick in the league for a long time. I like Isaiah Davis a lot.
Nice. My final guy, I'm not as much of a sicko in as far as football prospects go, but I've been doing my fair share. But I'll stay towards the top end still. We said it before. One of my shout outs, though, I'll say real quick. I still think Mike Sainer still could be really good for this league. Yeah. I think you can slot him in.
He could be
a
really good slot corner.
But my pick here is still first round guy. He's going to be a top 20 probably. I'm going to go with Leatu Latu.
Listen, man. If he somehow fell to the Lions, fans should rejoice.
I would die.
Because he might be the best pass rusher. And I'm going to let you get to it. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. good. But I feel the same way. I don't think there's a way that he drops, but you know, you never know with the draft. But, I mean, he's 6'5". He ran a 4.6. Like, his metrics are insane.
His pass rushing production was better than almost anybody.
Yeah. So he came up huge in the combine, even just to reassure people that he is that good. He had a 32-inch vertical, which is pretty good for a big guy. And I just like his game. He's quick. He gets to the ball. I hate that you even mentioned the Lions because I don't want to get my hopes up.
I don't see him dropping that far, but it would be incredible if he somehow fell all the way to 29.
Yeah.
Unless the Lions like want to grab somebody they want.
Yeah.
I could see them moving up a few spots, but yeah.
Yeah.
It would be incredible if he fell that far.
Yeah. But I just like his game, and I think he's going to give his full effort wherever he goes.
Listen, there's a lot of hype on Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
So, and he's like Jared versus Dallas Turner and Chop Robinson could go ahead of Leatu Latu.
Okay, you know what? In this mock draft that I'm looking at, Leatu Latu is at 27.
Hey, listen. Chop Robinson, didn't he run like a 4.42 Chop Robinson, I believe?
Something
like
that.
Like his hype went through the roof.
His is crazy too.
Yeah.
So in this mock draft, I'll just mention it. 27 is Leatu Latu. 28 is Chop Robinson. 29, the Lions are taking Darius Robinson from Missouri. Mm-hmm. So there's three edge guys going back to back to back to back. Okay, now, who would you want the Lions to take? What would be like your number one option for the Lions?
Well,
at that position, like they have to stick to 29. So we don't worry about
trades. The dream for so many people has been Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a good chance he could fall to 29 or like early second round.
Right.
Kenyon Mitchell is like being touted as the corner of the draft now.
Mm-hmm.
The kid from Toledo. Tarian Arnold from Alabama. Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Cooper DeJean,
mm-hmm.
who I also think could be a good pick for the Lions.
Yeah. Because
he's also a high-level return guy. So I think either Kool-Aid McKinstry or Cooper DeJean. It would have to be like more of a sell on Cooper DeJean just because you don't see white corners often.
Yeah.
But all it takes is watching some highlights and tape to see he's a freak athlete.
Right.
And a guy that's better than most players on the field at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think either Kool-Aid McKinstry or Cooper DeJean would be great at 29.
Okay.
Just because the corner thing.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking at corner. But I like that.
If Latu fell, though.
Yeah.
You take him.
Yeah. I would say you run up there.
Yeah.
I think the back half of this first round is going to be pretty wild. Because I've seen it go all over the place. The one that I've been sold on lately, and I don't know, these mock drafts keep moving them farther up, but the one that I've been sold on lately is Jackson Powers Johnson.
Refresh my memory, please, sir.
Interior lineman out of Oregon. I think he was their guard, right? Was he a guard? Or did he play center for them?
Jackson Powers.
I can't remember exactly. But so the idea, though, is that, you know, we have Frank Ragnow. He's aging. Who knows how much longer he's going to play. Graham Glasgow getting older. Like, our offensive line is our powerhouse, but they're getting older. I would like to, at this point, be able to take some.
He's listed as the number two center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I just want more depth for our offensive line because that's been our powerhouse for forever. So if we can keep going and keep developing these young guys and keep this offensive line rolling to be able to learn and kind of sit back behind Frank Ragnow and all these guys, I think could be really useful. Now, again, the whole cornerback situation has kind of changed the landscape of maybe who they draft, but I would just like, I like the offensive line depth because that is our strength to this team. And I would give these young cornerbacks that we signed with Emmanuel Mosley, Amik Robertson, and Carlton Davis, I would give them more of a chance than having to spring in some another rookie right away and keep the offensive line rolling, I guess, if that makes sense. So that I think that would be my pick. But again, if Latu fell, I'm taking him.
There are many good options.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deep crop in this draft.
The one thing I do want to say, I don't know if you saw it recently. I didn't listen to the whole interview, but there was an interview with like Dan Campbell saying that they might get weird in the draft. Does that make you nervous at all, or do you trust them?
I trust them. With their track record,
yeah.
I think Lions fans can live with them taking a few chances.
Mm-hmm.
With everything you have coming back and your free agent signings.
Yeah.
They can take a few shots on guys that they – I don't think it's ever good to try and be the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
But if it's somebody you really believe in, mm-hmm. How can we not trust him at this point?
Yeah. It still makes me nervous, but I'm curious as to what that means. I know they always are looking for their culture fit kind of guys, but who knows? All right. So next week, we'll do more of a full mock draft. We'll talk about each guy a little bit as we go through and draft them. But that should be fun. I'm kind of excited. I've done a little more research than I have in the past for this draft, so it should be fun. All right, moving on to the NBA. The first thing that I wanted to bring up really quick, though, Jontay Porter. Officially banned from the game of the NBA.
I don't even remember. Has this happened to someone before in the NBA?
Probably.
I really don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's been guys that have been like blackballed from the NBA. But,
oh, yeah, that's different, though.
Yeah.
Like open banning.
Right.
Like I haven't seen it happen many times.
Not that I can think of, at least off the top of my head. But Jontay Porter was found with illegal gambling, apparently on his, was it a personal account? I can't remember the exact thing. He was gambling on some NBA games through somebody, through like an associate. None of the gambling that he personally did was on any games that he played in, but he has also been linked to giving advice to other people to bet all of his unders, and then he would go suspiciously out of the game early and not get anything. His metrics on hitting the under, like these gambling websites have, you know, all the statistics, and they showed that he hit the under like 8 of 9 times, and that somebody like parlayed all of his unders once, and they bet $80,000 on it and won $1.7 million. And he was found linked to that betting.
There was a report today that said he bet on Raptors games.
Was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe Adam Silver said his biggest sin was that he bet on like Toronto Raptors games.
Okay. So either way, he's done a lot of wrong. This is nowhere near the Jameson Williams thing. This is full on trying to rig the game.
You know what I think is funny?
What?
He's probably going to go overseas and make more money.
Yeah.
Whether playing or just doing whatever he does, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
it might hurt him for a little while, but he'll probably still go somewhere and play basketball and be okay.
At the end of the day, his family's pretty well off. I hate to, you know, be that way, but you know, he's older? Michael?
He's the younger brother.
Yeah. So Michael Porter Jr. is, you know, one of the budding stars in the NBA. So if he, you know, really ran into trouble, I would think that he'd be okay. But it's kind of a wild thing to just see somebody, especially such a, I hate to say like mid-level player, but bottom of the barrel player to be doing this. Just seems wild. I want to almost see what his NBA contract was.
It had to be very minimal.
Let's see. Because he was like a two-way player, right?
Yeah, he wasn't making a lot of money.
So he earned $2.3 million over three seasons from the Grizzlies. So in the shortened season, he made $200,000. In 2020 and 2021, he made $1.9 million. And then 2021 and 2022, he made about $300,000. And then this year, his two-way contract was about $411,000. I don't know. That's still not too bad, though.
I mean, for us,
right?
For people that aren't athletes, yeah, that's great. But for an NBA player, that's not a lot.
Yeah, but to also be feeling like you have to bet money to make more money on yourself, just I don't know.
Do you really think?
No,
I'm not sure if that had anything to do.
It didn't. I know.
But gamblers are just there for the game, the love of the game, and the rush.
Yeah,
I don't think he was suffering.
Right. Anyway. It's wild, and that's about all. I just wanted to mention it because it's a pretty big topic. All right, on to the actual play-in games. Last night, the Lakers played my New Orleans Pelicans and beat them, unfortunately. So the Lakers are now going to play the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. We'll get to that in a minute. But off this game, Zion Williamson had 40 points in this game.
He was fantastic.
And
he was absolutely fantastic.
The Pelicans came back from, I think, 18 points down was the most that they were down. And Zion had 40. He was being a bully late in the game. Like,
yeah.
He was bullying LeBron. He was bullying Anthony Davis.
There was a point where they realized they couldn't do anything.
Right.
Like, he was jumping around over. Mm-hmm. He was just getting what he wanted.
Yeah.
At some point.
And so, then late in the game, I think it was like a minute and a half left or something like that. He came down awkwardly. Apparently, you said it's a calf strain.
It was a floater that tied the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his foot kind of bent weird, and apparently
at first, when he jogged down the court, I thought nothing was wrong.
Yeah.
And then he, dropped his head and started walking to the bench. I was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30 seconds later, he just was stomping off angry to the locker room.
Yeah. And never came back, and he won't be back for their next game.
It was all – I think it's the quickest I've seen somebody go from, playing an elite game to just gone.
Yeah. Officially listed as a calf sprain, like I said, he will not play in – they play Friday?
I believe so.
Friday in their final chance to get into a playoff series. And, yeah. Brandon Ingram also played terribly, but I think he was still kind of – he's been nursing an injury the last so many weeks of the season. It's just – it's another unfortunate run for these Pelicans.
I think that franchise just has something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've
like
lost,
a black cat.
They now have lost 8 of their last 9 home games. Like, come on. And again, Trey Murphy had a clutch basket. He shoots the ball so high, it's insane.
It's strange.
It's crazy. You're like, wow. And then it just swooshes right through. It's kind of pretty, but it's hard to judge.
Yeah, Zion had 40, and the next highest score was Trey Murphy with 12.
Yeah. CJ McCollum?
Another dud.
That's a...
Ever since Portland made the Western Conference Finals in, 2019 or 18?
Yeah.
He just has not done it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, so I don't know where...
Jose Alvarado was better than him.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know where the Pelicans go from here. We'll get... I mean, they're going to play the Kings. We'll get to that game, too. But at this point, I'd rather see the Kings play. Because who knows how long a calf strain is going to take to mend. And I'd rather see a good series. Like, the Kings and OKC could be a fun series.
Yeah.
So at that point, I think I'd just rather see that. And I don't know. Do you know what happened to Jonas Valanciunas?
What do you mean?
Exactly? Like, they were playing Larry Nance at the end of the game. I didn't even
know. I don't know if he was in foul trouble.
I
honestly did not notice until you just said something.
Because
Larry
remember,
Nance was playing.
Larry Nance missed a free throw that could have tied the game at one point. Not that it fully mattered. The Pelicans, for some reason, went into a zone and gave up a couple threes.
Maybe just his pace just didn't fit the game anymore.
Maybe.
Because they were getting up and down with Zion, and mm-hmm. Jonas just would have been lumbering up and down the court.
Yeah. Not sure, But it was weird, confusing. Anyway, Pelicans, they get another chance, but I don't know. I almost don't want them to, unfortunately. Then the second game was Kings and the Warriors, as I just alluded to. The Kings won pretty handily.
Can we start with the team that lost first and give the team that won respect second?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
so the Warriors got their butts kicked.
Is it over?
I think it officially is. And I've been on the bandwagon. I said if they won and got into the playoffs, they would be a nightmare for one of these teams. But I think it's over. I think as it is, it's over. I think they can retool and get back. But I think Klay is done.
0 points.
It was bad.
0 of 10 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3.
Yeah. Keegan Murray lit him up.
He looked like Klay. Mm-hmm. He looked like prime Klay.
Yeah. Klay struggled heavily. Draymond actually wasn't too bad. I just feel like this supporting cast just doesn't... Yeah. They don't play defense like they have in the past.
They don't. Kuminga, he just doesn't help. Mm-hmm. He doesn't help them. He shows great flashes individually and doesn't do much else.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to depend on Brandon Podziemski to be big in a playoff game.
Right.
And you shouldn't have to have Trayce Jackson-Davis play such a huge role to try and get to the playoffs. Yeah, the roster construction, it's just not it's not good enough.
And another thing, like, I'm a huge Chris Paul fan, have been since he came into the league. I think he's cursed. I think he's officially cursed. He can't get on a team and just ride somebody's coattails.
He made it to one finals.
Yeah.
That's pretty much as far as we might see it go.
Mm-hmm. But, I think Chris Paul needs to go. Klay Thompson needs to go. Draymond, depending on the money, should go.
What do you keep Draymond for at this point? Because I don't think leadership is...
Yeah. And then Andrew Wiggins has got to go.
At this point, I think so.
So it might be a tough retool to get back before, Steph's career is over. But I think... having Steph, there's a chance. I almost think, a lot of people were bringing it up last night, though. He looked so good off the ball. Maybe they bring in, a better point guard than Chris Paul, but they run him more as a shooting guard once Klay goes. And they just run him around like crazy. I don't know. Can his body hold up? I don't know. He's starting to get to that point where maybe it'd be tough, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be a tough retooling because they got to get a lot of pieces and kind of fast. But I would assume getting off from Klay and Draymond, they would clear up a decent amount of cap space. And who's going to say no to playing with Steph Curry? So that might be a topic we can talk about with Chris when we bring him on. Like, is there a way that they can retool? Because he knows all the salary stuff, but I don't keep up with it. Yeah, I think they're done as is. Do you think Steve Kerr, do you think they change coaches?
I don't think they do.
Okay. Do you think they Steve Kerr and Curry?
I see a lot of blame on Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr does deserve some blame.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned it. The way they put this roster together, I don't know what they expected.
Yeah.
Kuminga is – it seems more like Kuminga's trying to get another contract.
Mm-hmm.
More than trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
You got guys that are fourth and fifth level players that play a lot of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson is cooked.
Yeah. He's not good enough to play was elite defender for the longest time, and he's not that level
defender anymore. He doesn't shoot like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green punched your most talented young player. He had to go, and you still have Draymond,
yeah.
And he's the same Draymond,
mm-hmm.
and it's not doing much for the young guys. With the situation given to Steve Kerr, I don't know what list of coaches could have just easily handled this.
Yeah. Yeah, throwing in a ragtag team of young guys.
And then you throw in Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who didn't play a ton or didn't do a lot of meaningful things. I didn't even see Chris Paul, shoot the ball that much.
He really didn't.
Which, as he's aged, he's become a really efficient shooter. So, I feel like they could have figured out ways to set him up even in the corners or something. I don't know. But, yeah, They need a retooling officially. But I think they got at least they got one more run before Steph's career is over. But yeah, the Warriors as we know them are over, which is sad. It's sad. I like this. This is one of the one like dynasty teams that I enjoy watching. But anyway, the Kings. The Kings are moving on. They're going to play the Pelicans in this matchup to try to get in and play the number one seed OKC Thunder.
Yeah, they are playing much more inspired than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kevin Herter's time might be over in Sacramento.
Yeah, as much as I like him.
Listen, Keon Ellis,
mm-hmm.
he's locking down on defense.
Yeah, he was a surprise.
And he's shooting.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing both jobs very well in his first time touching the floor in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So his minutes have to stay high.
Yep. And even like we said, Malik Monk was already playing better than Kevin Herter when he got hurt. So, yeah, I can agree with that. Come to the Pistons. Pistons need shooters.
They do. But, oh, my God. Let's not talk about the Pistons.
Okay. The Kings, yeah. De'Aaron Fox, he's still, like, one of the most underrated point guards in the league, I think. Yeah.
His shooting efficiency wasn't great, but when you're the number one guy on a team, you got to have games like that.
Right.
And Sabonis had another double-double.
Mm-hmm. It's just what he's known for.
Yeah.
He just does it. Harrison Barnes, I think, is too, like, he's another guy that people just forget is on that team. And he's pretty consistent throughout his whole entire career. Mm-hmm. And he's always forgotten about. But he's played pretty good. They got some young guys that are they're feisty. Davion Mitchell missed a lot of threes last night, but you know he's there for mostly his defense. They just have some depth to them that I like. And then Keegan Murray, like we said, had a huge game actually, which would be good for them if he can continue to do that. So yeah, the Kings and Thunder I think is a good series. So.
Should we talk about the Lakers? We kind of just skipped over.
Yeah, we can.
Listen, Nuggets in six.
Yeah.
I'll give the Lakers two games because they have LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Angelo Russell is, like, having his best shooting season of his career.
Yeah.
I'll give them two, but...
Yeah, I think they have a chance to win some games, but the Nuggets are just so strong. To have to play them is tough.
Yeah.
Tonight's games, we kind of have a... To me, it's like a surprise because these are two teams that are top of the East normally. The Sixers and the Heat playing in the first game of the playoff. Winner gets to go up against the Knicks in a 7-game series. How do you feel about this matchup tonight?
I think Joel Embiid could dominate this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no faith in Philly.
Okay.
No matter how dominant Joel Embiid is, I know there's going to be something in the playoffs, whether it's health or just him not playing great. I expect Tyrese Maxey to play very well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect from the rest of the team? Nick Batum has been starting games for them.
Yeah. Tobias will have one random 20-point game.
Yeah, and then he'll average 10 the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Hield, I don't...
Yeah.
I like him, but I don't know exactly what he's going to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what his role will be. Because he's, like, the same player as, like, not exactly the same, but the same thing as, like, a Kelly Oubre. Like, come off the bench usually, can have a big night here and there, but you never know what you're fully going to get. So I don't know how their rotation's going to work. I think that's going to be my biggest concern for the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Just off the principle that I just don't trust Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning the Heat as well. I always forget that they made that late season trade for Terry Rozier, which just gives
them... It's had its ups and downs.
Yeah, but it gives them another offensive weapon to maybe match up. And I just think they have more depth. Like, Duncan Robinson is playing good again. Do you know what the status of, like, Tyler Hero is?
I'm not sure.
Because he's been kind of injured here and there, right?
Terry Rozier is the only person listed as out.
Well, that's unfortunate after I just brought him up. if Terry Rozier's out, who's their point guard? Do they have Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry's in Philly.
Yeah, see, I'm all Mexican
messed
up.
Yeah.
That's why I was like confused. So who's their backup point guard? Would they run
probably just Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero, yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I actually feel like the Terry Rozier thing makes it a little interesting.
I'm going Miami. I don't think it makes much difference.
Okay. Either way, I'm hoping for a good game. I don't particularly care for either of these teams in the long run, but I think either team would have a decent chance at the Knicks. I actually think. And then the late night game, the one we're all staying up for, the Hawks and the Bulls.
America's game of the night.
Yeah.
The 36 win Hawks and the 39 win Bulls.
Two teams that have just disappointed.
Tell everyone how Andre Drummond is going to impact this game, Joey. Let's start there.
I hate that there's like a love for Andre Drummond kind of coming back to the league all of a sudden. Like
barely.
All of a sudden, I feel like people are
like
just
Chicago
starting,
fans.
People are starting to talk about Andre Drummond again.
Listen,
and like,
he's a good backup center.
Yeah,
but anything but more than that, I don't want to hear it.
But people are always like, oh, but he led the league in rebounding for so many years. He has one of the highest rebounding percentages in NBA history.
And good
and
for
then,
him.
At the end of the day, rebounding is a hustle statistic, which you go for, which, sure, I guess he's hustling for rebounds, but what else is he hustling for? Not too much else. I'm glad that he's learned, though. He's talked about, you know, a lot of mistakes that he made when he's younger. I appreciate the growth. But the Bulls, they were a team that I obviously liked because they got Vucevic. They tried the DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine thing. Zach LaVine just can't stay healthy lately. So their rebuild has not worked out. Kobe White has finally kind of turned it around,
He's been like one of the main bright spots.
Yeah, at one point it looked like he wasn't going to turn into anything. He's been pretty good lately. Ayo Dosunmu has kind of come on a little bit.
I think Alex Caruso has maybe been actually the big bright spot.
Yeah.
Because he's been a two-way just like dog.
Mm-hmm.
His defense in that Knicks game, even though Brunson was going off.
Yeah.
Like he'll defend your best guard, and he hit like three threes against New York too.
Yeah. And then the Hawks are like almost in a worse boat because they seemed like they had a brighter future with Trae Young. Then they got DeJounte Murray, traded away John Collins. I think we mentioned it last week. Like they did all these things. And they're the 10th seed. Like, that is rough.
This is what happens when 90% of your draft picks besides Trae Young don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They're either average or bad.
Yeah.
The guys you've signed or traded for or traded away haven't added any value. So.
Ooh. We got some big thunder claps.
We got some thunder. Yeah. Going to be a little bit of storm. But. Does that mean the Thunder are going to the finals? Who knows?
Oh, man.
Is this an omen?
That'd be crazy.
But, yeah, the Hawks, they're in a bad position.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their fan base, I don't know how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be good. Like, them in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is in a worse spot.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a future. They traded everything for nothing.
Yeah.
So they're in a worse spot. Yeah. But, yeah, the Hawks, they've made so many bad decisions and just tried to, like, patch everything up. With glue and Band-Aids.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't worked.
If they lose tonight, is Trae Young gone?
I'd hope so. I honestly hope so.
Okay.
I want him to go to a bigger market. Somewhere where he can be respected.
Yeah.
Because I haven't jumped on the hate Trae Young train.
Mm-hmm.
I still respect a guy averaging like 27 and 10 for his career.
Yeah.
He only made the All-Star game as like a replacement this year.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really get considered for Team USA. People just don't care about him.
Yeah. I think both him and DeJounte Murray deserve better. And maybe partially it's that they just don't work well together or super well. But they both seem to produce. It just doesn't produce winning. So that one, I don't know. I think I want to see the Bulls win, but it would be sad too for the Hawks to go out like that. All right. So those are the matchups for tonight. And then this weekend on Saturday is when the first round of the playoffs begin. We have the Magic and the Cavs as the first matchup of the day. How do you feel about that one?
I'm always interested in series where there's two teams that, well, the Cavs have kind of made their small comeback in the past few years, proving they can do it without the LeBron.
Yeah.
But since Dwight Howard left, what has the Magic been?
Yeah, awful. They've been awful. Yeah.
They had one glimpse where they made the playoffs with Vucevic that one time, and they got one game on the Raptors, and that was it.
Right.
They somehow figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, sadly, this just reminds me again of how the Pistons have just messed everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Orlando, with a new young head coach and Jamal Mosley and a bunch of young guys,
mm-hmm.
just magically get it done.
Yep. What makes it
pisses me off.
What, but I can make it worse for you. You have the Magic with Paolo, a young Paolo,
yeah,
basically leading the team. Cavs, Evan Mobley's not necessarily leading their team, but he's a young guy that was in the same draft class as Cade. That's just tough to think about.
I like the Magic.
I do too.
And I don't know, like, trusting Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen
mm-hmm.
and Max Strus, guys with like experience.
Right.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like,
yeah, the Magic.
I like
fun,
the Magic's core so much.
Yeah. They're a fun team. I feel like they have a lot of versatility. They've got a lot of length. And I just think they could be fun. Obviously, their biggest problem, I would say, is their guard position. But it's not like their guards are bad. It just, I feel like their rotation is always all over the place for me personally. But Jalen Suggs has played pretty good as of late.
Yeah, it's weird with it. There are times where Jonathan Isaac looks like the best defender on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where Mo Wagner almost looks like sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
Like, they have glimpses
mm-hmm.
and games where they just look like, when it all comes together, they can be, like, super dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's possible it still could be.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're still very young. So.
Right.
Yeah, the fact that they're here at this point so fast,
mm-hmm.
good for Orlando.
Yeah. And then they got random shooters on their bench, too.
Like, yeah.
You forget about Joe Ingles. Not that he's going to get a ton of minutes, but he might have
He'll hit two or three a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope Orlando packs the arena when those games come at home, because they don't get these opportunities a lot.
Yeah. Prediction. What do you got? How many games? How do you think? How many games?
7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to think the Magic in 6. Next series, we got the Suns and the Timberwolves. I think this could be fun. I'm hoping it's fun, at least.
I'm going Timberwolves in 6.
Okay.
I think defensively, you got KD and Devin Booker. Either of them could go off.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of them, I'm not afraid of much of anybody else.
Yeah.
Even though, shouts out to Grayson Allen.
4 years.
He shot the highest percentage at 3-point in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 45 or 46%.
He's had a
super
couple
impressive
double-digit 3-point games, too.
Yeah. But I think Minnesota's defense is high level. I think the X factor is Naz Reid.
Mm.
And I'm just ready for Anthony Edwards to just take off. I need the world to acknowledge him as like that new up-and-coming guy
mm-hmm.
at the two-guard position.
Yeah.
He's an old-school two-guard, and I love the way he plays.
Yeah. I hope it's him versus KD.
You mean like matchups?
Yeah.
That would be weird, him guarding a 7-footer, but I'm sure Anthony Edwards
will
take it on
sometimes. I'm saying I hope KD guards him, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to put Jonathan Isaac on KD at most times. Whenever Jonathan Isaac is
Jonathan
in the game.
Isaac?
Yes.
Plays for the Magic?
Oh, my God.
The Timberwolves?
I'm getting switched up. Is Jaden McDaniel healthy? Or did he get traded?
It's actually a good question.
I can't remember.
Jaden McDaniels is still on the team.
Okay. I don't know if they'll put him on him. I don't know if they'll go Naz. They might go Naz Reid.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'10 and has a body that can move around it all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting matchup. But, I'd go Timberwolves in 6.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Suns. I'm just going to go with talent. I know it. I think I would rather have the Timberwolves win at this point. It's funny how we don't even mention Bradley Beal, that he's on the Suns team.
Ever since he got hurt, it's just been so up in the air. You never know which Bradley Beal is going to show up.
Yeah. I just think the Suns have a little bit more shooting, like you said, with Grayson Allen. Again, you forget they have Eric Gordon on the team, KD, Devin Booker. I just think they're just a little bit stronger. The thing that I'm concerned about, I guess, with
Brad
the Suns.
Beal's been really good recently.
Yeah.
I haven't even noticed.
The Timberwolves' size is going to be pretty insane.
Yeah.
With Rudy Gobert and stuff. So maybe they can figure something out. But they're going to have to play much better defensively for them to win, I think, personally. And then we have the Knicks are going to play, like I said, the winner of tonight between the Sixers and Heat. The Knicks have been on a tear to end the season, which is kind of fun, but I'm nervous that their steam is going to go out at some point because they've been relying so heavily on Jalen Brunson. Makes me a little bit nervous. Do you think the Knicks have a good chance, whoever they face?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then finally, Lakers Nuggets on Saturday night. Like we said, I'm in agreement. I think the Nuggets, just being the defending champs, they know what they're doing. Yeah. How do you stop Jokic? The Lakers maybe get a game or two, but I think ultimately the Nuggets kind of do their thing. And then Sunday, we have the rest of the matchups. We have the Celtics are going to play whoever wins between the Hawks, Bulls, or the loser of the Sixers Heat. So the three-way possibility. Do you think anybody has a chance against the Celtics?
I'm taking the Celtics.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And that could be a sweep, potentially. Mavericks and Clippers. This might be one of the more interesting matchups on the weekend. How do you feel about this one?
I'm really up in the air on this one. I want to take the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But the Clippers just have so many guys that if two of them are on, it's like it's impossible to beat them.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Mm-hmm. But you got Luka and Kyrie on the other side.
Yeah. I feel like this would have to be a huge Kyrie series.
Luka has cooked the Clippers so many times.
Which is wild to me because they have guys that defend. Like, Paul George is a good defender. Kawhi is an elite defender.
I think nobody can guard Luka.
Yeah.
His size and his skill, I think, is just too much of a mismatch against anybody.
Yeah. It's just wild.
You know what? I'll go Mavericks in seven.
Yeah,
it's a wild card.
My heart says Mavericks, but I think my head says Clippers. I think it'll be – this would be one that I hope goes seven. But I could see it being something crazy like Clippers in five or something wild, but hoping for the best. Then we have the Pacers and the Bucks. Bucks are a nightmare right now. And they might be without Giannis. Did you see that?
For a little bit? At least for the first,
yeah.
I'm taking the Pacers in the series.
Okay.
I think they're better right now. They've averaged, they're top five in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 157 in the season.
Yeah.
Like, they got shooters. Tyrese Halliburton is one of the best floor generals in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He can also shoot the lights out. I think the center matchup is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Miles Turner versus Brooke Lopez.
I don't know.
Kind of two guys that do the same things.
Yeah, but I feel like Miles Turner just being younger is much better at this moment.
It is. I'm really excited to watch this one. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Pacers.
Okay.
I have no faith in the Doc Rivers Bucks.
Yeah, I think this is the case where, like, the Pacers just have so much more depth than the Bucks do right now. And I don't know. Again, this is what we talked about at the beginning of the season. I think this is where the Bucks really find out, like, how much Drew Holiday meant to this team.
Yeah.
Like, not having that elite defender at the guard position. Like, Tyrese Halliburton versus Dame seems, like, heavily in Tyrese's favor, to be honest. Now, Dame can put up, you know, a 40-point game if Giannis doesn't play or something, but I don't think he can't stop Tyrese Halliburton either. So, like, their matchups just might be kind of weird. And I don't know. I don't think their defense is good enough, unfortunately. So, after that, what's the last matchup?
The Thunder.
Ah.
And we both think the Kings are probably going to beat the Pelicans.
Yeah, and I think that would be the better matchup.
I would take the Thunder in six.
Okay.
I think not having Malik Monk. If they had Malik Monk, I think there's a chance they could have upset them.
Yeah.
But I think not having Malik Monk is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can depend on Keon Ellis to average like 15 a game yet.
Right. Yeah, I think now that I think about it, like, the Thunder match up pretty well against the Kings.
Yeah.
They can put Chet on Domantas Sabonis, slow him down a little bit.
Sabonis can out-physical him. But
yeah. But Chet will make him work just enough, I think.
Exactly. He's going to take him out to the three-point line.
Yeah. I don't think the Kings have anybody for Jalen Williams. to be honest.
They'll have Harrison Barnes guard him.
Yeah.
So it'll be a Jalen Williams. It's all of their first times in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with this type of hype.
Yeah, their inexperience is going to be their biggest thing.
Shea versus De'Aaron, that's the matchup right there.
Yeah.
I want to see that 6 or 7 games.
The Kentucky guards. I just thought I didn't even think about that. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be fun. And then I think Keegan Murray's kind of going to be in the X factor again, probably in that series.
He's going to have to keep shooting the lights out
mm-hmm.
for them to have a chance to win.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be a fun one. I'm more excited about that. Okay. So those are the playoffs. Is there anything else that you want to mention about the playoffs at all?
I'm excited. I lost my love for the NBA regular season a while ago.
Yeah, I think we...
But I always look forward to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching the games this past Sunday, like the Bulls-Knicks game was intense.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting from start to finish. Everybody was like playing at their highest level.
Yeah.
It was just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm just looking forward to who comes out in these playoffs.
Yeah,
who lives up to the hype and who falls on their face.
Yeah, it was nice for me to even be able to watch some meaningful NBA basketball and like actually enjoy it. It felt like I haven't been able to do that in a while. Granted, I don't watch a ton of the regular season these days, except for like Christmas and stuff like that. But I'm excited to just kind of sit down and delve into some NBA basketball late in the season and see what happens, because I think there's a lot of there's a good mix of like really young teams that have made a splash, like the Thunder and the Timberwolves that we talked about, along with like these veteran teams or like the Celtics, who are a stacked team this year. Can the Celtics finally get one with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown adding Porzingis? I think that'll be a big question mark. So there's a lot of good storylines, I think, in this playoffs this year. But that's all I got. Anything else?
It sucks that Wemby isn't in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it really does.
I don't think it'll take them too long.
It shouldn't.
But
if they can actually build a roster around them.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be next year.
The NBA is praying that it's going to be next year. 2 years without Wemby in the playoffs, that hurts.
I just don't know how they can do it next year necessarily.
They gotta make some type of blockbuster trade or something.
Because there's going to be...
They could go after Trae Young.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Because otherwise, like, the draft class, like we said, is pretty weak. The free agent class is not that great. So they would have to make some sort of trade. Maybe they trade their top picks or
the
something.
Hawks would want some draft picks and, yes, a few more guys. They'd probably keep DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just giving up Trae Young for a bunch of picks and future assets.
Right. Otherwise, they wait one more year, and I think the free agent class is a little bit better. And at this point, the Spurs are going to be a place that people want to go play at. So
yeah,
I think they're going to not going to have any problem with that kind of thing. So yeah, Wemby in the playoffs will be pretty exciting. All right, next week we'll talk about some of the playoff series, but we'll mostly be focusing on our mock draft, NFL mock draft, because I'm not going to be here the week after the draft actually occurs, unfortunately. So won't be able to discuss the draft right away, but we will after that. So yeah, this has been Views from the Sidelines, and we will see you guys next week.
The Pistons still have Troy Weaver.
Don't.
Gotta love it.